listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ilona Europa, Cassandra, and Stephanie Mack. Oh my gosh, we have three gorgeous girls, including Ilona, of course, myself. But girls' power rocks, and we will prove today. We will prove an Accent On is really very accented, is very international. Why? I will explain in the moment. Hi, girls. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Ilona. How are you?
How are you, Cassandra or Cassandra?
I'm Cassandra.
Cassandra.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I leave people freedom however they feel my name flows good with them.
I just love your accent. I always thought I have the best one, but now I need to speak a little German or whatever is that. I love it. And of course, Stephanie, hi, but you have Beverly Hills accent. With little flavor of New Yorker.
Yes.
New Yorker, didn't see. Okay. Anyway, I am happy to be back in Los Angeles. And today is a very unusual day. A day like a little bit later we'll be talking. Sometimes can be great, sometimes not so. Then I can say now I feel really, really good. But a few hours ago I just found out that my mom is in Poland and she doesn't feel very, very well. And she's in hospital. Then I'll be flying. Thank you, Stephanie, for purchasing tickets and doing this so easy for me because my head was spinning from 2 days trying to, you know, put her into hospital from far away. But yeah, she's now in hands of the doctor and I believe she'll be okay. And I will be there in 2 days. And I love you, Mom. And thank you, everybody, especially Stephanie, for your help and taking care of me in this time. Anyway, but like I say, girls powers and for real, because we have lots of electronica and dance music coming our way. But before that, how we cannot start, how we need to start our Accent On with, of course, John Johnson and his Firefly Igniting the Soul, part of the segment of, for Accent On today. I just love this one and I listened, I think, 3 times, you know, and just felt what John Johnson said. And title is What to Do When Stuck in a Life You Don't Love.
Hello again, everybody, and thank you for listening to Accent On. This is John Johnson for Firefly, Igniting the Soul. I want to talk to you today about what to do when you feel stuck in a life that you don't love. Now, when you just heard the title of today's topic, what did you think? Did you think that's you? Do you ever feel like you have two legs submerged in quicksand, and that the more you push and pull and attempt to get out, the more stuck you get and the more tired you feel? Well, if you said yes, you're not alone. Because, in fact, well, the next thing I tell you may not sound so inspiring, but the truth is that humans are destined to feel stuck at various points in our lives, and feeling stuck is really just an absolute given condition of just being human. Why is being stuck a given? I think it's because humans are always growing, and we're always changing, and we're always evolving, and there's never a moment when your body and your mind ever stops recreating itself. I mean, humans always want something, right? And when you achieve a goal you've worked towards all your life, that goal ceases to be a goal the minute it's attained. Don't believe me? Just ask any Olympic athlete who's won a gold medal this year in the Olympics. But first, let's define what being stuck really means. Because I think that being stuck may not mean what you think it does, which can be what I think makes being stuck feel so hopeless. Because being stuck is, it's not really a destination, and being stuck is not a life sentence. It doesn't define who you are. It just defines where you are at any given point in your life. I think of being stuck as simply a sign, really, that it's time to start making something new and different happen in your life. When you're feeling stuck, it's really just another part of you tapping you on the proverbial shoulder and saying, hey, I'm no longer satisfied with where I am,
I need to stop this in this moment. Johnson will, of course, continue. Okay, he said something that from time to time we feel stuck in life, and this, sometimes this could be just the moment in life that we feel this way. And I would like to talk a little to Cassandra. I'll call her Cassandra, and she will probably say...
You can call me Kay.
Kay, I can call you Kay, but I still want people to know that you are Cassandra, with very unusual way of spelling, which we'll say. And the same with Stephanie, and I will say something. Did you ever feel like you are stuck in the moment, stuck in your life, and you felt like you cannot get out, that you don't know what to do?
I think there's many moments in life we kind of all get stuck, and it happened to me too when I'm working on a project, and I usually let go of the past, so I don't remember what moment it was, because it's just always good to move on. But I have always moments I'm stuck, and I'm doing the same thing over and over, and it's taking me forever time to do whatever I'm doing. And sometimes I just take a step back and then try to see the whole picture and then move on. But yeah, it always happened. It just happened like today and the last couple of days.
Wow. You know, that's very beautiful. And I think John Johnson will go deeper into this problem. But I think sometimes, yeah, you say, this could be every few days. We can feel like we are stuck and we have nowhere to go, or nobody is there for us to get us out of the descent, that we are like sinking in. And I think, like later we'll be hearing, John will just explain why we need to get ourselves out of that instead of asking somebody, too much for the help. It's really about us. And I really think about this. Yeah, in my life, I remember when the biggest I'm stuck and, like divorced. There will be one. And then, get stuck in a place that, I just really didn't know what to do in America. I got really stuck for like a few years, not being able to look left and right and find myself, in home. What about you, Stephanie?
Stuck. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think college for me was very... I felt stuck, like I couldn't...
For 4 years?
For 4 years,
that's pretty sentences, like prison.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. And that's very interesting because my daughter, Natasha, Mira, she just left to USC and she had her first day. And I'm like so scared because it's new school, new everything. And I'm hoping, that the school, who is one of the best in the country, will just give her something that she will not feel like, oh my gosh, I decided to do something. Oh, I'm stuck with it, because that's 4 years sentence, Obviously, you can move here and there. But yeah, we'll see how her life will go. And oh my gosh, I love you, baby. And I know you'll be very, very happy there. And then, we are stuck many times, and we'll see. Maybe John Johnson will tell us how to get out of this sense of sinking and this feeling of, sinking and being stuck.
And I don't like this particular part of my life. I need to do something to change it. I need to do something else. So if you think about being in a car, for instance, and you're stopped at a red light, when that light turns green, that's your sign to get moving. That's your sign to put the pedal to the metal and get moving forward again. And being stuck is just like having a green light. It's simply saying it's time to get moving. But the key is knowing how to get moving again. And this is where being stuck can feel like a horrible condition. If you resist that you feel stuck, which means that you don't really welcome the emotion, but instead you get all caught up in the feeling of being stuck, the feeling of being trapped, you actually put your focus on the being stuck part instead of putting your focus on the sign to get moving, like that green light. If you embrace that the sign is there, you then have the freedom to explore the options for how to get moving again in your life. Listen carefully, because here's the secret for allowing you to get unstuck. Simply by acknowledging that you are in a place that you don't want to be, but not delving into the emotions of being there, you actually free up your energy to focus on where you do want to be. You actually free up your energy to focus on what you do want and not what you don't want. This is actually the foundation of the law of universal law of attraction, which basically says that whatever you focus your energy on is what you attract to you, wanted or unwanted. So learning to use being stuck as a positive sign that you desire more in your life, it really opens you up to asking how to get it, instead of you know, stuck in the emotions of being where you don't want to be and fearing you're always going to be stuck there and not being able to move on in your life. If you ask yourself, why am I stuck here, or why do I deserve this, and why does this always happen to me? Well, you're going to get an answer, and most likely the answer that you get isn't going to help you move forward in life. But if you ask the right empowering questions, like, what do I want that I don't have today, and how can I get it? Or, what have I been doing, and what can I do differently to change the outcome? You see, you start focusing on the answers that will propel you forward in life and get you unstuck. I honestly believe that no one has to stay stuck, and that no one ever has to live a life that they don't love. It's simply recognizing the sign that it's time to make a change in your life, and then asking yourself the right questions which will assist you in making that change and beginning the process to move forward. So I say, embrace the feeling of being stuck so you can get moving again, and seek out the tools you need and start today. So here's to your freedom. For more of my daily thoughts or to share your stories of getting unstuck, visit the John Johnson Official Fan page on Facebook. Or, if you want, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at John's Cat. That's J-O-N-S-C-A-T. For Firefly, this is John Johnson. Start living your life like the dream you have is real. Now back to the studio with Ilona Europa, Jonathan Todd, and the rest of the gang.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John, again. And thank you, John. You know, we love everything you are saying, and we are thinking about this, and everybody in the studio agree. We'll just think about if this is the moment that we feel right now is that we are stuck, or this is the time to move on. And I think we are moving on to something really, really cool and really loud, energetic, and fun. And this is the time for the song. Let's play.
You put your finger on the trigger, you've got your finger on the pulse. You put your finger on the trigger, you've got your finger on the pulse. Bird.
Animals.
Woohoo! I just love this song.
Thank
what
you.
What a good hook. Okay, I know and I hope you wrote the song.
Yeah, I worked together with somebody on the song and helped also with the producing. And it's actually a writer from London. Not from London. From the UK, from Doncaster.
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 Okay. How many years ago did you write this song?
It's actually 2 years old and or 2 years young, however you want to see it. And it just took a while to kind of put the right sounds to it and make it the right energy and just put it out there. It just sometimes takes that long.
You know, this is a very, very true. I'm also, you know, the same genre, but we'll be coming back. You will describe really how we can describe your music and who you are and where you are going with your music. But I'm also electronica, dance, pop. Sometimes I'm calling myself rocktronica artist, you know. And we have, because we are coming both from Europe, I think we're really, really having heart. Very honest when it comes to dance music and very honest. And we are, for years, we are like breathing dance music, which I think this gives us a little bit like step forward in America.
Right,
and
right.
That's why I really, really, really believe you have so, if not already, you really have a great chance to be heard, being known, getting great, great reviews and just being played everywhere. And I know that takes sometimes one very strong hit and I'm hoping this is it. Then tell me about, you know, you have probably some awards you know, already. Then tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, this song actually got a nominated Pop Single of the Year for LA Music Award, and it also, it's getting tons of requests in America and on some radios in the UK. So we got a beautiful award, the Gold Award, from a British radio network, which I was really honored. I love Britain. And, yeah, so that won a Gold Award, and I think it won some other awards. I don't even keep track. But it won a nomination and two awards. One of them was a British Radio Network Award, and the other one, my manager would be just probably holding a paper up right now showing me one of us.
Yeah.
I just don't remember. I don't like hanging on to the past. I always like moving forward. So once I have something, my problem is sometimes I don't celebrate my success. And that's something I need to learn. So open all your bottles of champagne out there.
Yeah, you know, this is what John Johnson said, that, you know, mostly of us, when we feel stuck or something, we just want to move on and just run through another things that you want, like people who are winning gold medals. You know, okay, I got it. Now I want another one.
Right.
The same with songs. You write one, you believe that this is it, but then you are, okay, time for another song, you know. And yeah, we do not celebrate. Artists are very driven, and yeah, I think we need to stop a little bit, enjoy and remember, you know, how good your song is doing right now all around the world. And I'm just happy, because very, very hard to be recognized right now. Is so many artists that are trying to, yeah, you know, be everywhere with their music, and you know, and get to be heard is harder and harder, not only to pop singers, to everybody, any musician, okay? Then, but you are originally from Austria. You left Austria and you lived.
I lived in Germany. That's where I was raised, and I'm actually recently kind of relocated from Spain back to America. I lived in America and then in LA. And then went back to Germany, and then lived in Munich, in Cologne, and then came back, and then went to Spain, because Spain is really warm. But what had happened is I moved to an island, because I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to move to a bigger island, but it wound up being really boring there. It's a beautiful island. It's a gorgeous island. It's Mallorca. But it happened just there was no live music scene, and there's just so much jazz you can take if you just like dance electronic music. And if you want to dance, right, or go to a live show and see some rock and roll, there's just really nothing there. So I wound up moving back to America, and I'm back since 2 years. And in those 2 years have actually, I mean, accomplished a lot as an indie artist, which I'm sure part of my songs, everybody loves my music, which means a lot to me, because that's the first time I'm getting all this recognition and all the work that I've put in. So it's a good feeling. And I still love performing Finger on the Trigger. Everybody loves that song. I still love it. And
no,
I can't get enough of that song.
This is 2 years old baby. This is a baby that you should take care of. And you know what? Probably when this will be the hit, like world hit, you'll be 60 and you still be singing Finger on the Trigger.
You put your finger on the trigger. Everything you do is just right. It's an optimistic, positive song. It should get people out of the chair and get them moving and also unstuck the energy.
And that's what you are doing, because you also have a lot of shows. Yes, and I know you have a dancer. You have a really cool show.
Thank you.
I'm just very, very excited because my Ilona Europa and Cassandra will be part of a very nice event. The four shows will be having great, great event in September 15th and 25th with...
Correct.
Yes, you can maybe explain and give us a little...
What we're doing with the American Ballet of Los Angeles. We're doing... actually, it was quite funny. I don't even remember. I met them, and I dance jazz, modern, ballet. So I was having this creative idea of putting some ballet to dance electronic music. And on my album Light and Dark that I just released, there's two poetry pieces in there. You can check them out on iTunes too. And I was thinking it would be cool to open the show with a poetry piece and have them dance to electronic music. And they brought the Fifth Element in there as their theme.
And this is how you met Kat and Eddie?
Correct. This is how I met Kat and Eddie. And they brought Maureen from Paris on, their principal dancer. And then they decided to put me in their show, which is kind of cool because it's been a while that I did something in the theater and with acting. So I'm going to be performing my song Finger on the Trigger there, 15 and 22nd of September, right?
Yes, and we'll be having four shows, and we would love everybody to just go maybe to American Ballet of losangeles.com, or we can just go to Accent On page and we will have all details there how to get tickets. I know that matinees are free, but you know, it's 800 seats theater, and probably we'll be having a lot of people to see this four shows, and I'll be there too singing Sun Is Going Down, and also we know that ballet people will be dancing, or I don't know yet what they will be doing, but for sure they'll be doing something with our songs, and I'm so excited. Then again, Kat and Eddie, I know you are rehearsing all the time. We love you, and I cannot wait to be on a stage, especially with Cassandra, who I met today face to face, and I love her already. She'll be my friend. I know forever.
It's kind of cool because they also do ballet classes, so I just started finally my ballet training again, which I'm really grateful for because I just love dancing.
Oh my gosh, my mother-in-law will love you for that. She is just, you know, really gorgeous lady, and she dances still this day and has classes she teaches. It's amazing. Her body is just, ouch, you know, so pretty. Okay, coming back to you. You are in America how many years?
I've been back since 2 years, and it's exactly those 2 years that I have been working on my album Light and Dark. It's just a long process for an indie artist because we don't have major funding yet, but maybe somebody's out there. I'm going to give you my bank account number.
How are you dealing with that? Because everything costs so much. You know, people say, okay, now we don't need big studios, we don't need to pay for engineers, but really production, producers, and, you know, just time that we spend on a song, and then releasing singles to release remixes. Everything needs to be paid, and then find record promoter who would like to help with promotion. That's all cost money, and we don't have record companies to say, hey, how can I help you? Yes, they don't. Then, you know... And obvious, people love to hear you. People are coming for your show, and people enjoy you singing and dancing. And, you know, then how are you dealing with that?
Well, speaking of labels, I know it takes a lot for a label to be recognized and seen. And eventually my work is doing an imprint because maybe things are going to be turning around. I just got a phone call this week from an A&R, actually from a big label. I can't name yet which one it is. But they're looking right now at my music, and she just loves my work, and she just sees the whole artistry behind it, and she says that I'm quite far with what I've accomplished. So we're not going to vote and hope something's going to come out of that.
Very big wood.
So like in 20 days, they're basically submitting it, so it's going to take another month. So what I need you all guys to do is go to iTunes, get my songs, and just help an artist out, because they're going to be obviously looking also at your video views, at your downloads, and everything that you can accomplish as an indie artist, which is hard without a big label. That's what's funny. They want you to have everything for the big label, and then they come in and just take everything.
Yeah, they say do it yourself, and then when you are already out there, we'll scoop you.
Right.
And still, you know, we'll
need to show the numbers,
too much money. You will be working, and anything what they give you, they will take anyway in the end until you have big hit and lots of shows, and this can take sometimes years. Yeah, life of artist is not easy all around the world, I'm sure. Right right now. Okay, but we don't want to be depressed because really you are doing very, very well in America. And please, we need to know how to find you. You give us all pitch where you are, your Twitter, everything, which is on Accent On. We posted this also, but from
okay,
your...
Okay, that's www.imcassandra.com. That's IamKSandra.com. And on Twitter, it's at Cassandra Tweets. That's KSandraTweets. And on Facebook, just type in K'Sandra and my picture should be coming up, or / CassandraNet. That's KSandraNet.
Yeah, you make yourself trouble. I have the same way with my name because I'm Ilona, and IL spelled like II, you know, when you have capital letters.
Right,
people just don't know how to do it, but yes.
That's a tough one, Ilona, right?
Yeah, Ilona, you know, again, your name, how to spell your name is not Cassandra, it's K-S, yes?
It's K'apostrophe Sandra. That's basically, I kind of used to have the name Cassandra with a C, but then I just changed it. As Mr. Johnson was saying, you just sometimes need to change something in your structure, in your recipe, and that's what I did. So since I've been putting that name out, things are just getting great.
You're and, so right. Yeah. This is sometimes this little marketing advice really works, you know. And I did this the same because Ilona with exclamation point, it was pretty good. Although I found out this like porn star name is Ilona too. Then I was like, oh gosh, what did I do? And how to change my name? But then, you know, and everybody was complaining I have an accent when I sing or speak. And this worked against me. But then when we add word Europa, because obviously I represent Europe, and people start looking more nice to me and say, oh, she's from Europe. Of course she has an accent. And now, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, sometimes you twist, you get out of where you are stuck, and you say, no, I'm not pitching anymore Ilona Europa or whatever. But I like you because Cassandra is the European way of spelling the name, you know, instead of C. Then I think you did very well. You are working with amazing artists. You work with amazing known artists already. I think you need to just give us some names.
Yeah, well, I co-produced obviously a lot of my songs because I just like being hands-on as an artist. But I also step away when it's time to step away, so I don't have like a controlling thing if I see that somebody's doing something good. So I did work with producers that worked with Usher, Snoop Dogg, Jason Derulo, which I really like his sounds a lot.
Oh, boy.
And then Gossip is a song that's also on the album Light and Dark that is not released yet as a single, which I worked with the producer of Big Chris. He worked with Slash and Fergie. And so we did a little bit of rock feel to that one. And there was a co-write with a Beyoncé writer, Natasha Bedingfield and Beyoncé writer.
Oh, Natasha, I just love her. You know, again, the names that you are bringing to the table and people who are willing to work with you, people don't understand. This type of people do not come to anybody and say, okay, I can work with you or whatever. It's just almost impossible to get the attention. They are so busy, not because they're arrogant. They're just really, really busy. And making one cool song doesn't take 5 minutes. It takes sometimes months, you know. Then I really, you know, by you saying that you are working with this person, that person, I just admire you because I know how long sometimes took me to get to this point that somebody not only recognize my name, but recognize, oh, she's worth to maybe put some time into it and see what's happened. Which, again, you can have whole great album. Maybe you have one or two songs that will be lucky. We are hoping that we are bringing something really special. Dance music is very, very cool. And, you know, you are adding rock to it, too, because you have some past that you really are crazy about when it comes to rock. And explain us, who is your hero?
Well, obviously, being from Europe, and I really stand to that dance electronic music is just born in Europe. So bringing the dance electronic field over here to America and then being in LA, the city of rock music, where there is actually not really dance electronic music, that's more like in New York. So if I was having the idea, I love rock and roll, I love rock music and all kinds of weird cranky guitars and just love e-guitars. So I was calling my music dance electronic music with a rock and roll heart.
And when you are on the stage, you have who is in your band?
I have, oh my God, I don't want to name drop more, but we have Chaz Monroe that just joined the team. He used to play with Iggy Pop and toured with a lot of bands. So he's an awesome guitar player. And we got from The Hype, Frank Joseph, he just joined the team. So we have some really great people. And then the drummer, he worked with Merlin Manson, No Doubt.
Woohoo! That's just great. You know, I am not done with you yet, and I know that 1 month from now, and I hope we are praying that you will be signed to this good label, and you know, then you will come back and you will explain us what's happened, because I'm sure you have something more to say. You are staying with us because right now we have somebody on the phone that we really, really love also. Hello, Dr. DJ.
Hello, Ilona. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I really, really miss you because for the, you know, I think long time ago we didn't speak in a studio. And when I was in Maui, our microphones, they were not working perfectly. And I was so angry with my funky accent and, you know, the lot of noises coming from a McFlickle restaurant, you know, in Maui. Then we had real trouble sometimes to hearing each other. But you are right now with us. Yes, Dr. DJ Verrett with us. I still don't know. I'm saying very European way, Verrett. I'm sorry, but you are Verrett, yes?
Well, originally it was Verrett. Because originally I'm from South Louisiana, so a very French heritage there.
Which
but
means
it
Verrett.
Did become Americanized at some point, and so it did become Verrett.
Okay, which means accent, which we loved accent, is on the second part of your name, Verrett. Okay, that everybody repeats, Dr. DJ Verrett. Okay, we have in the studio some wonderful lady who is just great, star from Germany, but right now in America. Okay, Cassandra, say hi. Kay, say hi to Doctor, because you know my old doctor.
Dr. Verrett.
Yes, Verrett. Yeah, and of course we have Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie, can you say hi to our doctor?
Hello, doctor, how are you?
And fantastic, how are you?
And again, we have three girls here, and if we'll be talking, I wish we are talking about plastic surgery today, because obviously we can ask you. We have little time. Yeah, like you know, our Maui people are pretty busy with opening a restaurant, that we have little more time with you, doctor, and I'm very excited about that. But and I will maybe the plastic surgery that you are so good, you explain us something about it too if we have questions. Okay. But right now, we have topics. Yes, we have myths that we decided to talk about today. And it's something about, for myths, does coffee makes you pee?
The last couple of weeks with Scott, we had been talking about breakfast. And I know last week, Jonathan was really interested in his coffee and cigarettes for breakfast, which we decided probably wasn't the best idea. But as it turns out, there are a few things about coffee that can actually be good. But kind of one of the negative things, or one of the myths out there, is does coffee actually make you pee?
For sure. What girls are saying, when I drink coffee, I'm just really need to, like, 10 minutes later, I'm going. And how about you, Cassandra?
I'm going to step out for that conversation.
That's a real conversation, because you don't know if you need to drink coffee before show, because in 15 minutes you say, like, sorry, I have a break. What about you, Stephanie? You don't drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Okay, I'm only one who says yes. And what do you say, doctor? That's coffee.
Well,
makes you pee.
And to some degree, you are correct. Coffee does have caffeine in it. Caffeine is a diuretic, which will make you pee. However, very interestingly, if you are a long-term coffee drinker, you will become pretty much immune to the diuretic effect, so it won't make you pee too much.
Oh, that means the more I drink coffee, less I'll be peeing. I like that.
Well, and it's actually just the amount of liquid that you take in. So whether you had a cup of coffee or had a cup of orange juice, you would have still been peeing the same amount after it.
Okay.
So,
yeah, it's true.
Very
but then you will say better, you know, if you need to go somewhere or like in the traffic in LA, that you better don't drink coffee before you go into your car and start driving.
Well, probably a good idea. I know in Dallas at around 9 a.m., you shouldn't drink coffee or water or juice or anything, because you're going to be stuck in traffic for quite a long time.
Oh, you know, it's so funny, but my father-in-law, he was flying. Hi, father-in-law. Hi, Josh. And he was flying airplanes. And one day I went there with him, and I see this, like, funky, flat bottle. You know, looks like, you know, something that you can put under your back when you have back problem. I'm like, puppy, I'm calling, what is this? He said, oh, that's things when pilots need to go and pee. That's where they pee. And he gave me one. You know, I remember I had on the back of my car for a long, long time. And I felt very secure, but never used. But then I lost it. And now I need to just go back to some pilot and say, give me one, because I don't know where to buy this. Okay, next one. Next one. Can coffee consumption kill you? I will say everything too much probably is not good. Then that will be right answer. What do you think, Cassandra?
I have to say that I love coffee, but I don't really consume it. I love a good cup of coffee, especially having lived in Spain with a siesta. You wind up drinking coffee in the afternoon because you get really sleepy till about 4 or 5. But I have a new recipe that's maybe interesting for the doctor. Actually, I take coffee and wash my hair with it. It's really great. It wakes you up.
Oh.
So you put it in your hair shampoo, and it's just, I don't know, I just, and then, yeah, I cook the coffee, and then I take that, what is it called, the leftover?
This little muddy stuff.
Yeah, the coffee ground, and then I mix it into a shampoo and then wash my hair. And it's actually really healthy. Coffee actually could be really good for you if you drink it like maybe twice a week or something.
Twice a week. I will say I agree with you with the coffee, because I love the, you know, brouhaha, like, you know, witchy witch stuff. And I really think, and I heard somewhere that you put little coffee into plants, they also are happy. Then we'll talk to you about this, doctor. But the hair stuff, maybe I'll try, although I'm blonde, that will be tough probably. And what do you think, Stephanie, if we drink a lot of coffee, will we be dead soon?
No, I don't think we'll be dead. Sorry about that. I don't think we'll be dead. I think coffee is probably... I feel like I've read somewhere that it's good for you, actually, a few times a week.
Yeah.
I will say coffee is very good, like 4 full glasses minimum a day. That's what I do, and sometimes more. And I love my coffees, a lot of coffees. Please, doctor, explain us.
Well, I'm not so sure about 4 glasses a day, but there is quite a bit of research out there to say that coffee is good for you. There are several very large studies looking at populations, large numbers of people, to say that coffee consumption decreases or improves diabetes, can actually decrease your risk of cancer, improve or decrease your risk of Parkinsonism and Alzheimer's disease, and also it seems to help with a lot of cardiovascular health. But again, as you actually alluded to at the top of that one, everything in moderation. So if you're drinking 20 cups of coffee a day, probably not the best thing. But, you know, 2 or 3, probably not a bad thing, and maybe a little bit good for you as well.
Yeah, I really hope so. I wonder if anybody did research, because there's so many great countries like Spain, you know, or Cuba, who are, of course, you know, loving the coffee, and just if people live longer or they have some type of sickness because they are drinking coffee. I'm sure somebody was thinking about this, but for right now, I really, really think, like you said, no cigarettes and morning with your coffee, but coffee will wake you up. And do you think coffee before exercise or after exercise?
Well, I'd say probably even both. You know, coffee, we had kind of talked about breakfast before or after exercising in the last show, and one of the things you have to worry about with breakfast is your body actually digesting it. Coffee, on the other hand, doesn't have to be digested, has a bit of a caffeine boost to it. And so probably a little bit of coffee before you exercise isn't a bad thing. And most certainly after you exercise can't be a bad thing as well.
I love you. That's really good advice. And I agree with you 100% on this one.
Well, you could also read your future with the coffee, right? It's what they do in other countries.
I want to hear. Do you know how to do that?
Well, no, you just take like the really black Turkish coffee and the coffee ground, and then you put it on the table and they read the future, right?
Okay, doctor, this myth I'm not talking to you about, because you probably will say, I don't want to hear about that. But again, we, the little witch of the East, yes, we like stuff like that. Again, does coffee cause cancer? That's a little sad, but yeah, I don't want to hear about this. Does coffee cause cancer? Huh. I don't want it to know. No, impossible. No, 4 cups a day. No cancer.
No, it's not the coffee, actually, that causes cancer. I did a little research into that. Coffee is highly acidic, and I'm sure the doctor's agreeing there with me.
Gosh.
I did a lot of research. And basically, coffee is really, really high acidic. So is Coca-Cola. So what it equals in water a lot of water to cope with the level of acidic that it has. So what you kind of have to do is the more acidic stuff you have, the more you have to eat something that's in the alkaline food group, meaning green vegetables and to cope with the acidic in your body. So that's what causes the cancer, the acidic, not the coffee itself.
Then my heartburn after a seventh cup of coffee might be that's the reason. And and you say I'm supposed to take salad right after
coffee? Well, you basically, no, you literally would have to drink maybe 32 cups of water after your coffee. To make up for if you drink Coca-Cola. That's the problem with actually the cancers are not coming from coffee or from one particular thing. It's it's your body being over acidic and the cells basically cancer likes to grow in acidic environment. Mm-hmm. It loves it. So
okay, doctor, I'm scared of her. Whatever she's saying, she looks really serious, like she knows what she's talking about. Cassandra, we love you for that. But I prefer to talk to the doctor this time. Doctor, can you explain us what's going on with this cancer and coffee?
Well, a couple of things, and we'll talk about what Cassandra was mentioning, but the coffee is actually, there are several studies to suggest that coffee is protective against cancer. So actually coffee consumption, there are antioxidants in the coffee, polyphenols in the coffee, that actually seem to be protective against cancer. Even one study suggests that coffee consumption decreases your risk of skin cancer. Now, in terms of the acidic that she was mentioning, there is, whenever you do have acid in the esophagus, particularly like gastroesophageal reflux, where stomach acid comes back up the esophagus, can give you heartburn and those kinds of symptoms, that chronic irritation, that chronic acid in the esophagus actually does predispose you to certain types of esophageal cancer. And so having, you know, a good balance in those cases is very important. And as you mentioned, Ilona, if you have a lot of a large coffee intake, that does also predispose you to gastroesophageal reflux, obviously causing more of an acidic environment and can actually predispose you to certain types of esophageal cancers. So in that case, yeah, it can be bad, but overall, coffee consumption, again, in moderation, seems to be actually protective against some cancers.
I like that. That means that if I tell my daughter, again, hi, Natashka, and say, honey, if you really need to study longer, that's okay. You know, just around 7 at night, you still can take a cup of coffee because you will go to bed at 1 at night and probably you have more energy. And for young people older than 18, coffee is okay, I hope.
Absolutely. And that actually is our next myth. Does coffee actually improve your memory?
Oh, for sure. When I drink a cup of coffee, it seems like I'm more up and I have more energy, and I don't know if I'm smarter, if I have better memory, but for sure I feel like I'm more energetic. What about you, baby? What about you?
I think I might have to get in an argument with the doctor, and I don't want that.
We like arguments. Yo, come on, girl.
I actually heard that coffee just wakes you up in the moment, and that's the thing. Like, I get sometimes up and I feel I need that cup of coffee. And it's true, it wakes me up in the moment. But long term, actually, it totally does the opposite. So I resort actually to ginseng, which I think is actually pretty good.
Wow. Oh my gosh, herbs. Okay, for that, that sounds like, yeah. Is this tasty? The ginseng?
No, you just take those pills. They come in pills. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds much better. Okay, doctor. You just fight my new girlfriend, Cassandra. Is she right or wrong?
Well, in terms of coffee, there are actually two things. You're right about the moment. It's the caffeine in the coffee that's a stimulant and does actually improve memory and attention span, cognition, kind of in the moment. But there are some longer-term studies to suggest that regular coffee intake decreases your risk of Alzheimer's disease, which, as we well know, is a problem with memory. Mostly in older people, but can even, unfortunately, hit people in their 30s and 40s as well. So coffee seems to be protective against some of the Alzheimer's disease as well.
What did we just talk about?
You need your coffee, woman. You know, like a really strong one. Yeah, okay, now that's really good news for coffee, because mostly everybody loves coffee. Do you think that, doctor, if I put little milk inside of the coffee, does milk really kill the good stuff in a coffee? I read somewhere, but probably it's not true. Or, you know, coffee with milk is identical like coffee without milk?
Well, good question. I mean, in terms of obviously the taste of the coffee, the taste is going to be significantly changed. But in terms of the beneficial aspects of the coffee, it shouldn't affect it because you're looking at the chemicals in the coffee that are the antioxidants, and those aren't going to be changed by adding milk to a cup of coffee. But obviously the taste of the coffee is going to be significantly affected if you add milk or sugar or some other additives to it, as opposed to drinking coffee black or with maybe just a little bit of sugar to take out some of the slightly bitter taste to it. So that would be something that actually I was sorry to hear Scott wasn't able to join us today, because I was interested to kind of hear his take on brewing coffee and all that kind of fun stuff as well.
Well, trust me, they are trying to get
the best coffee possible.
Now, they have some special type of coffee that they mix together, and I'm sure next time he'll be talking to again with you, and we'll come back to this issue because it's very important. Okay, unfiltered coffee is dangerous. You sound smart. Tell me, Cassandra.
Unfiltered. You know, I got rid of my coffee machine. It just doesn't work anymore because of the hot water I have. So I actually hand brew it. I don't know if I'm a judge for that. I hand brew it. I cook the water really old fashioned and then put
two
it
spoons,
like
two spoons.
Yeah, correct.
European
way, the real way, right?
I like that. Okay, doctor, what's going on with this? You know, do we need to put filter or not?
Actually, you do need to put a filter. Oh, interestingly, and there are a couple of studies out there that show that unfiltered coffee, like in a French press, actually has more or causes an increase in cholesterol in the body, and especially the bad cholesterol, the LDL and the triglycerides. Those are the bad kinds of cholesterol. The HDL is the good cholesterol. Unfiltered coffee increases the bad cholesterol. And so you do still get the antioxidants and all of the things that can be good in coffee, but you also increase the amount of cholesterol whenever you use unfiltered coffee. So actually using a filter is a good thing.
But how will we deal with all of these great machines, like espresso machines, which obvious everywhere, nobody cares about cholesterol. They just pile in coffee in us and they say, hey, drink it. You know, there's just nothing there that protects us from that. And if this is so obvious, why we don't have tiny filters in all these tiny little bit cups that when you push it, coffee comes out. I like it.
Unfortunately, we'll probably have to drink or eat our oatmeal with our coffee so we can balance out the high cholesterol with the lowering of the cholesterol that the oatmeal has. So.
Oh, the pairing. Well, we can pair with coffee. You said sawat, Cassandra.
I just needed to laugh about the oatmeal because, I mean, nothing makes me more laugh when I buy oatmeal and it says it's good against your cholesterol, when it's actually not the oatmeal that's good against the cholesterol, because, I mean, oatmeal just doesn't have any cholesterol. It's like saying, hey, this water is really good against your cholesterol, right?
Is she right? What is she saying about our old-fashioned oatmeal? Is this helps? Has no cholesterol, but you said that it really cleans because all the... Doctor, you explained this beautifully last time. I know that oatmeal is very good for us.
Well, yeah, it is, and well, you're absolutely right. There's no cholesterol that's actually in oatmeal, but there have been a couple of studies out there to suggest that oatmeal, consumption of oatmeal, actually decreases the amount of cholesterol in your body, particularly the bad cholesterols, the LDLs and the triglycerides, actually seem to come down whenever you eat oatmeal. So it seems to kind of gobble up, for the lack of cholesterol that it has, it actually gobbles up the cholesterol that's there.
Okay.
And improves the cholesterol numbers.
I like that. I know that's like visual. I love it when you do this, doctor. When you tell me and I right away see my cholesterol going down. And then, you know, I love oatmeal. I really do. And I think we have so many choices that is a very easy and fast breakfast. And it fills me up sometimes for 2-3 hours. And that's very good. Which we have a little bit time. Because sometimes, from time to time, I'm drinking decaffeinated coffee. And like doctor says sometimes, okay, stop drinking coffee. You know, just start drinking the another one without caffeine. Do you think, is this okay? Or is this healthy? Or better?
The caffeine-free coffee?
Yeah.
You know, I personally tend to not drink caffeine-free, but that's just a personal choice. Some of the beneficial effects that you see, particularly with cognition, you know, being more awake to actually understand things, you won't get because those those beneficial effects are due to the caffeine intake. But the rest of the beneficial effects that you can see with coffee, you're still going to be getting because all of those other chemicals, all of those other beneficial chemicals are still in the coffee grounds, whether they have caffeine in them or they've been decaffeinated. Mm-hmm. So you'll still get a beneficial effect to it. If you like the taste of coffee, you can still get the taste of it, but you can have it as an after-dinner drink and not worry about going to bed 2 hours later.
You know what? Again, I like our date together like that. You know, we have so much time. We can talk about very important things. You know, it seems like I miss Scott. Scott, I really miss you. Jonathan, we miss you too. But I think, you know, we are very peaceful. We are like playful and we are not so tough. And I think the coffee is very important for all ladies. And we are just happy to find out how good coffee is for us. And thank you again for telling us that. And we'll, I'm sure, have all of us, or maybe I for sure, will have my two more coffees before I go to sleep. And yes, because, that's for sure. I know. And maybe we'll be continuing this topic with Scott Liebfried. Or if not, I just time for some advices for ladies' face. You know, I need so many advices from you, doctor. Will you do this one day? Will we go also into the beauty part of our body?
Sure, I would love to. Whenever you want to, Ilona, we can put together a segment on it.
Oh,
no problem.
I just love it because I know ladies will love that, and you know we'll make the questions for you, and all girls will be just screaming, "What about this? What about that?" And I think you can give us the perfect answers for that. I love you again. I really, really say hi to your beautiful Dallas from us, and especially for you for everything and being with us today too. And before we'll end of the show, I would like to maybe premiere my song, Eternal Kiss, and saying again that Cassandra in the studio and Ilona Europa will be singing in LA with LA Ballet. Please check everything on Accent On page. We'll be having four shows, September 15th and September 22nd. And the four shows together, and I cannot wait to see how ballet will mix with electronica and dance and Giselle. Okay. Eternal kiss, and we love you until next week. Bye bye.
Listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa and Jonathan Todd right here on LA Talk Radio.